In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. These words from the prophet Joel summarize the call to repentance in every age, and they are especially apropos for us as we begin this season of Lent and the journey to the cross and the resurrection. Return, the Lord says, which for many of us does indeed have a concrete form. We have wandered off like sheep that have gone astray. We have let the world entice us away from regular attendance at church. We have let our family devotional life become a desert. Our spending reflects greater commitment to the world than to the kingdom of God. Our prayers have faltered. We have let trivial, worldly things take us away from the only thing, from the only one who really matters. Return, the Lord says. And he says this also to those of us who have kept the external form, even while our hearts have drifted away. Church is attended, prayers are said, God's word is taught to the family, but our hearts have grown distant and away, lukewarm, without fervency, without love, without passion, apathetic. We've allowed our hearts to be taken by the pleasures and the cares and the problems of this world. And when the heart is distant, our worship of God takes on a certain emptiness. At times, it's even tainted with hypocrisy, the idea that we're pulling one over on God and others, that God doesn't know even better than we do exactly where our hearts and minds have been, that we have forgotten our first love. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. With these words, the Lord again shows us that our hearts bear themselves out in actions. Fasting and weeping and mourning are those he mentions here, along with the warning that we not merely go through the motions externally, tearing our garments in an outward show of sorrow for our sins, while our hearts remain devoted to living just as if we have, just in the same way we have been living. So the Lord says, rend your hearts and not your garments. Why would the Lord have each one of us return to him and draw nearer to him? Because he is all that matters, past, present, and future. Because he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love for you. Which is to say, the Lord your God does not deal with you or with me according to our sins, or treat us as we deserve. He is gracious to us and merciful. He keeps temporal punishments away from us. He delivers us from the consequences of our sins. He preserves us in the one true faith, though we turn our backs on him again and again. And even when he does afflict us or allow punishments to befall us, he does so only for our good, as a beloved father with a dear child, that he might teach us and mature us and lead us in the way that we should go. Why is God so merciful? Why does he who made the galaxies take mind of you or me? Why does he care about each and every one of us as if we were his own beloved children? The answer is Jesus. All for the sake of Jesus. Because Jesus gave his life for you. Because Jesus shed his blood for you. Because Jesus has earned the grace of God for we who could never earn it ourselves. indeed, Jesus has changed the very heart of God, that God might turn a fatherly heart toward us, that God might bless us and keep us in this short life and for all eternity. Jesus has done it all for you. He has won it all for you and given it all to you. Return to the Lord your God. Why? To receive more grace, grace upon grace, to receive more mercy, mercies that are new every morning, to receive the abundance of His steadfast love until your cup overflows again and again with Jesus, who is true life, and with the Holy Spirit, and with all the Spirit's fruits and gifts, with love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness and self-control. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit desire to change our hearts and our minds each and every day, conforming us into their image, into the image of the one true God. God gives you this gift, the gift of His image, the gift of His perfect righteousness in the waters of holy baptism. There He writes His name upon you and makes you His child for all eternity. These gifts He gives, not all that unlike a child who is given a bike. That bike now belongs to Him. So too, the righteousness of God is yours. But the boy needs to learn how to ride that bike, how to enjoy that bike, how to use that bike for the purposes it was given. And so you and I also, we possess the righteousness of God as pure gift for the sake of Jesus. But we too must learn how to live it and enjoy it and put it to good use. Jesus calls this practicing your righteousness. And He gives us this warning: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Jesus gives three concrete examples of how we practice our righteousness. He says, when you give to the needy, when you pray, and when you fast. And to summarize Jesus' entire point, He is saying, if you do these things in such a way that you want others to notice you and think well of you, when they do, you have your reward. You have praise from sinful, fickle men, but no praise from holy, steadfast God. God desires that when we give alms, when we pray, when we fast, that we would do so not to build up a spiritual resume or earn another merit badge, not to impress others or draw attention to ourselves, not to convince others how pious or loving or devout or humble we are. Rather, God desires that we would give alms and pray and fast and do all our good works as quietly as possible, in secret, as it were, as if only to Him. This is true religion, to know and be known by God. It is also eternal life. Earthly treasures, including earthly reputation and earthly esteem, earthly righteousness and earthly applause and earthly honor, all of these perish with the earth. But practicing one's righteousness quietly and before God, this is laying up treasures in heaven. For God Himself is your treasure, and His opinion is all that you treasure. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Delighting Him is your delight. As our Lenten journey begins, let us ignore those voices that make it seem as if there is no practice of righteousness or no progress in it to be had. Those who make it seem as if the practice of righteousness were somehow contrary to Lutheranism or ungospelly. Let us instead return to the Lord and learn from Jesus how to practice our righteousness. And let us begin our Lenten journey by returning to Jesus in repentance, rending not our garments, but our hearts, marking the sign of the cross not only in ashes on our forehead, but in the depths of our souls. And this by receiving God's word, his gospel, in faith, remembering who God is and what he gives us as a free gift in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of all your sins, perfect and eternal righteousness, and a way, here and now, a way to follow behind our Lord and Master, in the way of self-denial, in the way that leads you through the very heart of death itself and out the other side into an eternal Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise and confess.